You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
School of Humans.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Cadaver Gals, the podcast where we talk about the ways people have died to cope with our own mortality. Yes, I'm your host, Nika, along with Gabby.
Hey.
And Taylor.
Hi, hi.
Okay, real exciting stuff. So today, Gabby is going to tell us a tragic princely death story. And Taylor is getting into some witchy torture. Fun times. As always, we do have trigger warnings because this is a little bit of an intense podcast. So we are going to be talking about incest and rape and animal abuse and mental illness, the letter M, if, you know, for some reason that might trigger you, being crushed, and there was one, witches. So that is what's happening on this podcast. We are looking forward to it. What a way to start the day. Wow. Let's cue the alligator music.
Cadaver Gals.
Okay, welcome back. Taylor mentioned that people might be ending their day with this. If you are ending your day with this, what the fuck is wrong with you? No, I'm kidding. I'm scared you'll have nightmares. But you know what? You are your own person and you get to decide for yourself. I'm just saying we're recording this in the morning, so that's why I said start my day. Anyway, I don't need to ever explain myself. I'm a god. Okay, Gabby. Gabby.
Yeah.
Gabby.
Yeah, well, I think sometimes people, on another show I worked on, they said there was one comment that was like, yeah, I love to listen to true crime podcasts to fall asleep to. So maybe the soothing tones of rape, murder, incest, and killing your family members. I guess that's another thing that's going to happen today. So
Filicide.
We love it. Yeah. So fun and flirty. Okay. So, yeah, we're going to Korea in the 18th century. Is everyone pumped?
We haven't been to Korea in a while.
That's true. Usually it's just like toxic white people that we talk about dying because it feels less problematic to talk about their deaths, you know? You know,
it'd
be like that.
Absolutely agreed. Well, it's kind of like reparations. Kidding. Oh my God, I'm kidding. All right.
Anyway, this is, in 1735, a little bebe was born, and he would one day be known as Prince Sado. Sado means think of you with great sorrow, or whenever I think about you, I am heartbroken. Because, because Mr. Prince Sado is going to be killed by his dad. Love to see it. Family
is... Oh, you're just going for it.
Yeah,
family
spoiler alert.
Family is complicated. I mean, yeah, spoiler, this person dies. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? Anyway.
I'm shook.
Yeah, it's just like, this is like the ultimate story of like daddy issues. It's like you take your daddy issues and you compound them with maybe like bipolar disorder and some OCD, and also just like a dad who is chronically disappointed in you, and this is what happens. You get sentenced to death. Okay, so just watch out for your dad. All that's all I'm saying. Okay,
I
so
hope not to everyone, because a lot of people got daddy issues and there would be a lot more filicide if that was the case.
Yeah, that's true. But anyway, so his dad is King Yongjo, and he's kind of seems a little insecure anyway, because he became king even though he was like pretty low ranking in terms of like the royal family. So it seemed like he had his own insecurities. Also, he had a son before Sado who he really liked, but then that son died. So then they had Sado. And so, so Sado, it seemed like his dad was already going to put a lot of pressure on him and be like, you have to be like my other son who died, which is, you know, that's already complicated. And Prince Sado, he was, you know, his dad wanted him to be like a really good student, a really good scholar, but he was more interested in like the arts and like archery and like having
classic tale,
you know, classic tale.
Yes.
So his dad was always like, what the hell is wrong with you? You need to be better. And he's like, no, I want to do arts and sports. And so then his dad just would yell at him, would like yell at him in public all the time, in front of like the rest of like the royal court. And so Sado developed kind of like an anxiety problem around his dad, where he was always like super timid around him, which then made his dad even angrier. So it was real complex. Okay.
Quite the chain of events. I'd be anxious to be around my dad too if he yelled at me every single time we were in public.
Yeah, and just like undermined all of your decisions and told you you were like dumb all the time, you know, like.
And that you had to be like the son that died.
Yeah.
And, you know, you weren't as good. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so Prince Sado, he, you know, this is a romantic story. He gets betrothed and he weds this woman, Lady Hong. By woman, I mean girl child. They were both 8 years old when this happened.
Oh, my God. Oh my God.
Which was apparently like
not
kind
a
of
woman.
Not a woman, a literal girl. And Prince Sado was a literal boy. They got married at 8, which apparently was like kind of typical of the time.
Classic boy meets girl story, except they're both 8 and they have no choice.
Exactly. It's a classic love story.
I'm already triggered.
I think this is what Taylor Swift was singing about in the song Love Story, this specific scenario.
Thank you for the analysis.
Yeah. But she's important because she wrote a memoir that kind of like details a lot of like Sado's behavior and kind of what was happening at this time, which some people like they don't trust it because they're like maybe she was in cahoots with the king and they wanted to like get rid of him anyway. But that's also like not doesn't seem to be true, because she just gives like very specific details of all this crazy shit that's going to happen, because a lot of shit's going to happen. So when he's like 10, he has some sort of like psychological breakdown where he like goes unconscious, and Lady Hong is like, this is where everything started going real bad. And then a lot of other like traumatic things seem to happen, all with the backdrop of his dad being like a total dick to him all the time.
How old is he now?
Well, he has the psychological like breakdown when he's 10.
Man, good for him for going at least 2 years. I wouldn't last that long.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, year two of a marriage is pretty complex, but.
Oh, my God. Okay.
But like a lot of sad things are happening, like, you know, for like, you know, when they're 14, they finally have a kid and that kid dies after 2 years.
14.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Okay. I can't imagine having a kid at 33.
Yeah. 14.
Much less 14.
Well, yeah, your kid would already be like in college now.
I could be a grandmother. Oh my God.
Granny Taylor. So sweet.
God.
But his kid dies, very sad. They have another kid, but then also he's very close to his sister, because his sister is like gets the fact that their dad's a huge dick, and but then the thing is then she dies, very sad. My also gosh. Like his dad, the king, gives him like administration like duties to do, but every time he makes a choice, his dad's like, that's the wrong choice, you made a bad decision. Also, he wouldn't like let him go to a lot of court events. He's still yelling at him in public all the time.
Hang on, he's like 10, so like is he, or 14 I guess, is he misbehaving and is he getting into some shenanigans?
I mean, some shenanigans are about to happen. I mean, they also, people, there's a lot of shit that's about to go down, but I'm just saying there's a lot of like tragedy that was happening in his life to kind of understand where all the, you know, basically, spoiler alert, he becomes like a serial killer and rapist. So,
okay, well,
ha ha ha. I don't know why I just laughed.
Shenanigans.
It all starts with the parent though. So I'm not saying it's okay. I'm just saying like he did have a fucked up.
So all you parents out there, you're traumatizing all of your children.
You're giving, you're turning your kids into
the responsibility of being a parent, too much. Just when Kimchi, if Kimchi's even a little bit upset, I'm like, I'm a bad mother. I'm a bad mother. Put me away. Like, take him away from me because I am not taking care of my child, right? So I cannot even imagine what it's actually like with a human baby.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so like he also, like his dad puts him specifically in charge of like overseeing torture, which I also don't know if that would be like the best role for him necessarily.
When he was when he was young, like 10-ish, this is like when he's 14-ish. Like 15.
So he's like 15.
Of course that's going to fuck a child up. Oh my gosh.
Though he's 15, he's a man.
Of course it's going to fuck, regardless, your brain is still developing, especially because he's a boy. So it's like developing slowly.
Mika, I think that was some sarcasm from Gabby.
Oh,
well, you know, I mean, what? No, he would be literally considered an adult at this point, you know?
I mean, I'm just thinking in terms of like he's on his second kid, like, but he's still technically not mentally an adult.
He's still a child.
Yeah. Yes, very much a child.
And like during this whole time, his mental health is definitely deteriorating and it's no good. And then finally, when he's like 22, the queen dies. The queen isn't his biological mother, but because his mother's a concubine, but the queen dies and he was very close to her. And then also the queen's mom dies like within a month of each other. And this is really like already a lot of shit's kind of going down with him, but this like really sends him over the edge. So the things that start happening kind of when he's a teen and into early adulthood is, you know, he starts having delusions. Like, for example, he had a dream about the god of thunder. And so then he just developed a fear of the sky in general. So he's just scared of the sky.
Inconvenient.
Yeah, he also
always there. Need some therapy.
Yeah, he definitely needs some therapy. He also started having a clothing phobia. So basically what happened is every day he needed to have at least 20 to 30 outfits laid out for him to decide, and he couldn't always decide, and sometimes he would like burn some of his outfits, like these beautiful silk outfits, because he just like, there was just like something, like it's probably like OCD or something where he couldn't like handle all the clothes.
I've definitely had a breakdown trying to figure out what to wear though, to be fair.
This is every day though of like 20 to 30 outfits. And the problem is the people who would dress him, his wife wrote that it was lucky if nothing happened to them, because he would like beat his servants and then he started killing them. So he would kill specifically his dress servants if they like maybe dressed him wrong. He was like very emotional, and he would just like, he started to deal with his feelings instead of, you know, like, you know, men should just go to therapy. He just started killing his servants. So that's a fun thing. Like one time, like after the queen died, he was so upset with it that they just had a lot of eunuchs around, you know, you just got to have them. After, to deal with his grief, he beheaded one of the eunuchs and then went over to his wife and was like, look, I beheaded the eunuch. And she's like, I don't want to see that dude. Okay. But then he would also be very physically violent with her a lot of the time. And then he started also like sexually harassing all the ladies in waiting. And if they didn't have sex with him, he would rape them. So that's another.
He's very problematic.
There's definitely something going on. He also rapes a Buddhist nun. And then he starts sexually harassing his younger sister, not the one he was close to, but who passed away, but his younger sister. And he attempts to rape her as well.
Was not successful.
But okay, also, good. I imagine she still felt very bad.
Of course.
He also, you know, he just has all this paranoia around his father too. So like it's like pretty normal for people to like take, you know, concubines. So he has like one concubine and she gets pregnant and he's really concerned that his dad will be mad about it. So he like forces her to take all these like abortive substances. But then his wife actually takes the concubine and like kind of hides her away, and they end up having a healthy baby. So that's cool. But then he takes another concubine, and he was really stressed out about that one too, because this concubine was like a former lady in waiting to his grandmother. So I guess based on the laws of Korea at the time, that was considered incest somehow, like him being with the lady in waiting to his grandmother. Very confusing. And so when his dad found out about him, he like super went in on him and just like berated the shit out of him. And then Prince Sado tries to jump down a well to kill himself. But then a guard fishes him out of the well. It's like, yeah, you don't get to die today, sir.
Oh.
And then he beats the concubine to death in a fit of rage. So, yeah, he's not doing so well. There's something wrong. Something's going on. There's some signs, you know, that maybe his mental health isn't the best.
He's in his Fleabag era.
Yeah.
You guys seen that meme on TikTok?
Yeah. He also, heaven forbid, he's drinking, which is illegal to do at court. So that really makes his behavior even worse. And during this time, like, his dad doesn't know exactly about all of this stuff, but his dad takes a concubine, and the concubine is like friends with some other concubines. And like his dad kind of gets informed through the grapevine, gets informed about like kind of what's going on. And it's not exactly clear like what was the tipping point. I mean, there's obviously a lot of these could be really great tipping points on their own or whatever.
Yeah.
But they're thinking that maybe what happened is that Prince Sado had like an altercation with another like royal person, and he was trying to sneak into the palace. So then rumors were going around that he was sneaking in the palace to try to kill his dad. And so they're thinking maybe that's why. It might be the sister thing. It might be any of the number of these things, because also Lady Hong wrote that at this point in 1762, when Sado, he's like 27, like daily bodies were being taken out of his house of like people he had killed.
That is gruesome.
This
that
guy
is bad.
Yeah. So Daddy Yangjo is like, this is yikes, you know, mega yikes. And he like asked him at some point, he's like, why are you doing all this crazy shit, son? And Prince Sado says, I am in pain. You're my father and you do not love me.
Ah, wow.
Because of you, Dad.
Because of you, Daddy. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's my daddy issues, you know, have definitely manifested, you know, in a similar way. So I'm just kidding. That was a joke. That was
wow.
It's not real. It's not real.
The silence.
I don't do any of this. I don't.
The silence was so loud, you guys.
It was. I felt I'm going to have to ponder, you know, I mean, I do also difficult. Sometimes I don't know what to wear. But now I just don't get dressed. So I just wear pajamas all day. That's what I do.
I just was imagining you face down on your bed.
You're just like never getting dressed.
Nope, not doing it.
Yeah. Anyway, but the thing is like there, you know, the king's like, well, I guess we kind of got to get rid of my son because like this shit is out of control. But the thing is like, you can't, it's like illegal to like kill your royal children. So he has kind of like find a loophole. So what he does is he strips him of his title, Prince Otto of his title. And then what he does is he's like, well, I can't literally, because also if you like execute your son, then like you also have to like execute like the wife and the kids, you know, you just have to do a group thing. So he didn't want that to happen. So what he did instead was like, okay, instead of killing you, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get a rice box, which is like a 4-foot by 4-foot box where you would keep rice in. And he says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put Sado in the box and lock the box, and he'll die in the box. And I won't have killed him. He'll just die in the box of natural, you know, starvation and thirst, you know? So it's like, what a great loophole. Like, he's not literally killing him. He's just trapped in a box. So
preventing him from living.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like, a loophole. What? It's different, you know?
It's giving big Sims 2 energy. You trapped your Sim in a pool, you know? You took the ladder away.
Yeah, so because you didn't kill the Sim just... You just
passed
away.
Natural.
So that's what happens. He puts him in a rice box. Apparently Prince Sado was like obviously not feeling it. He was like, don't put me in the box, please. But he's like, you're going in the box. So he put him in the box. And the guards for a couple days are just like, oh, maybe this box situation is just like a temporary normal punishment that you give to your adult son. And so they were still giving him like food and water. But then the king was like, no, stop that. And then they wrapped additional ropes around the box and then moved it up to the upper level of the palace and then also covered it in grass. I don't know why. Maybe for weight, some heavy grasses. I don't know.
I mean, it kind of just sounds like he buried him alive.
Yeah, put the grass on the top, or he was just trying to have like a nice, like, you know, like a planter situation, you know, like he just wanted some plants inside or something. I don't know. Anyway, so he's obviously not having a good time in the box. Day 7, he's still crying out, being like, I don't like this. But then finally on day 8, they look in the box and he has perished.
I know that box is haunted.
That box is probably haunted as hell.
Yeah.
So his dad is obviously a little sad about it after the fact. He reinstates his title like 15 days after he dies and then ends up killing all of his servants for the most part, because that's what you just do for royals. He doesn't kill the wife. He doesn't kill the kids.
Just everyone they've ever spoken to.
Yeah, just everybody who Prince Sado was already killing. So anyway, fun and flirty. Being royal is normal and fun. And then, I mean, I don't know, there's obviously not really like a silver lining, but like his son with his first concubine ends up becoming like, or the descendants of him end up becoming the first like emperor of Korea. So like, good for you. But anyway, sometimes it's hard to just be having mental illnesses and having a dad who's not nice to you. So
thank you Gabby for that, truly, from the bottom of my heart, my box heart. We will be right back.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Looking for a fabulous fashion brand that celebrates you? Then look no further than Boston Proper, where styles are designed with you in mind, so you can look and feel amazing no matter the day, season, or occasion. At bostonproper.com, you'll find fashion that knows you best. For over 30 years, Boston Proper has been the fashion destination for confident women who want to elevate their look with unique, sophisticated clothing at affordable prices. Visit bostonproper.com today. Boston Proper. Wear it like no one else.
Wow, Gabby. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. Yikes. That's a big yikes story. Best way I can describe it.
Mega yikes.
Mega yikes, truly. So We are doing like it's a very anti Hallmark movie vibe at the moment because there's no happy family reunions. You know, there's no fuzzy feelings because I'm going to talk more about Phyllicide.
Yes.
Basically, if you don't know what Phyllicide is, it's the deliberate act of a parent killing their child, like what Gabby just.
No, he didn't.
The story that.
He didn't kill his son. He just put him in a box and he happened to die of starvation and thirst and dehydration.
Yeah.
It's different.
Okay.
It's literally he just kept him from living, like stopped him from living. It's not, he didn't kill him.
Y'all
he
just, like, are emperor apologists. Y'all are emperor apologists.
He was just a king. He wasn't an emperor, okay?
A king. Okay, fine. Whatever. Anyway.
Just a king.
Just a king. And also, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the statistics are pretty disturbingly high for it, even though, like, just one is fucking disturbing. So that's, you know, not great. It's still relatively something that actually a lot of people do, which is disgusting. What the fuck? Go die. But we're not going to talk about current Phyllicide because that is depressing as hell. We're going to talk about the past because that's less depressing.
The past is fine.
It's a little less depressing.
Yeah. We're removed from it. It's fine.
Yeah. So I know a guy who did it. Who did the Phyllicide?
What?
Well, no. I mean, I know a guy. His name is Ivan the...
Oh, he was terrible.
Terrible. Oh, nice. Taylor, I like how you said that so casually, but you were actually finishing my sentence.
I thought you were going to literally be like, yes, one of my family friends killed
my gosh. No. Yeah, I did too. I was like,
You really tricked us there. But Ivan the Terrible, we've talked about him.
We have.
The Terrible.
He was quite bad. So... if we don't, you know, just a little update on Ivan the Terrible. Not update, but he was a Russian Tsar in the mid to late 1500s, and he was not a very good guy. He had like...
Hence.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Hence the name is not real because actually what it means in Russian and what it means at least at that time was more like the magnificent or like the, oh my God, you're so... amazing that it's like a little scary. It doesn't mean you were like a bad person, but honestly, the shoe does fit. So I'm just glad that language has at least kept up with the vibe that Ivan was actually pretty terrible. Okay, so he had like 6 to 8 wives. Only 4 were recognized by the church. And his first wife gave him 6 children. Yay, bountiful marriages, whatever. Mm. Now, the third to be born was a boy. Finally, they had girls initially. Thank goodness.
Yuck.
What would we have done? Yep.
And girls, so, get out of here.
Yeah, get the fuck out, girls. Okay, so he was obviously the first heir. However, sadly, he died during infancy. He drowned. Sad. pretty sad. Bad. Yeah, pretty bad. So the next child after that was another boy. And he is who we're going to get into. And funny enough, they actually named him Ivan. So he's like Ivan Jr.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah, his name was Ivan Ivanovich.
I think back then they only had like 4 names.
Yeah,
so,
only 4 names existed.
You know, there was a 25% chance that he would be named Ivan.
Precisely. Wow, such good calculations so quickly, Gabby. You are truly a genius.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so Ivan the Terrible, obviously he was the heir. He was the apparent heir. So he was going to be, you know, Tsar eventually. And Ivan the Terrible and his son, Ivan, were actually buds, like, for quite some time. Ivan the Terrible took his son at 15 to see his private army basically massacre people together.
Oh,
like, fun.
Yeah.
What an activity.
I mean,
father-son activity.
Yeah, they would just do things to, like, bond over. Like, for example, there was this massacre called the Massacre of Novgorod. Yeah, Novgorod. Where... Ivan the Terrible took his private army to attack a Russian city called Novgorod because Ivan the Terrible was paranoid and thought that they had committed treason and treachery. Mind you, by, you know, as Ivan the Terrible got older and more powerful, he became more paranoid and did some disturbing shit, which is not good. So basically, he and his son would go to see horrific acts of violence, like torturing people by grilling them or binding...
Like grilling, as in like putting them on on hot grates.
Like a George Foreman, like a
a George Foreman situation. Okay. That didn't exist back then.
Oh, they didn't have like a green egg that they could just grill some people. You need a big green egg though to have
Sadly,
a fit a person.
I have heard that those are so expensive, by the way. I don't really grow.
A person size one would be super expensive. Or you'd have to get like three and then like put them on. Yeah, it'd be too complicated.
That's true.
But he's a czar. He had a lot of money.
It's true. Oh, he did. But no grills. They didn't exist back then. It's more like burned alive, I guess, kind of vibe. Okay. So he would also like bind and throw women and children into the Volkhov River, which is where they would be trapped under the ice and die. And Ivan the Terrible actually had men from his private army on the boats of the river. So even if people did manage to like survive being bound and thrown into the river and they like managed to come up from air, the soldiers would basically push them down and make sure that they died in the icy river.
Why are people so freaking mean back? I don't understand.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I don't know what to tell you.
But also good son-father bonding.
Exactly. Good son-father bonding. And the funniest thing is that after seeing these pretty gruesome acts, Ivan the Terrible and his son would go to the church for prayer every single afternoon.
They're forgiven.
They are forgiven. Listen, and then it happened all over again. Wow. So this happened for 5 weeks. So major bonding. You know what I mean? They were really tight.
Just like a morning. I'm thinking about their GCALs. You know, it's like 8:30 to 12:30. Go hands. Watch some like massacre. 12:30 to 2. You know, go to church.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then like eat a ton of food and I don't know, practice war or something. Yeah, it was
just think how lucky they are to have each other, you know, just really appreciate each other.
That's what life is about, you know, mm-hmm. is it not? Anyway, so Ivan the Terrible was also a very involved father when it came to Ivan producing an heir, understandably. Oh. It was very important to him. So at 17, Ivan was supposed to marry a Russian noblewoman chosen by his dad, but she didn't produce an heir quick enough.
What a fucking bitch,
right? What was she thinking?
Yeah, exactly. So Ivan's dad banished her to a convent. Okay.
God. Being a woman's ridiculous. Cool.
Being a woman.
Being a serf or being a woman, all of those are cool.
Yeah. Ivan the Terrible got Ivan another bride, you know. Second time, we're trying to go for it. But the same thing happened. So she was banished to a convent again by Ivan the Terrible. Anyway, finally, third time's the charm, you guys. Ivan's third bride, Yelena Sheremeteva, was pregnant in October of 1581. What joy. They had tried for so long, so hard, finally. You know what I mean? And no convent for her, which is good. Everyone in the family was overjoyed. So things carried on as normal. You know, we got the war. We got, you know, Ivan the Terrible having weird, disturbing, panicky, paranoid moments. But for the most part, everything's pretty okay. You know, he was still greedy, starting wars, whatever. Anyway, until November 15th, Ivan's wife was walking in the castle, minding her business, happy and pregnant, you know, when Ivan the Terrible caught a glimpse of her.
Uh-oh. A glimpse is never good.
A glimpse is never good. He became so offended at what she was wearing because according to him, her clothes were inappropriate. They were lighter than usual. And so naturally, you know, as what anyone would do when they react, when they see this, is he started beating her. Now, this was pretty normal for Ivan the Terrible. It seems like he would lose his temper often, and he also suffered from mental illnesses like later on in his life. Still, not okay, obviously. It's just not okay to hit women.
Also, like maybe that was all that was all they had at the maternity store, you know? Maybe they didn't have some good options.
Exactly. My thing is, like, you wanted her to be pregnant so bad, and then you start, like, beating on her? Bruh, come on. So Ivan heard his wife's screams, traumatic, and rushed to find his father attacking his pregnant wife. Bad. So he freaked out and took his wife away, but the damage was done, and she miscarried.
Wow.
What a dick.
What a dick, truly. So Ivan confronted Ivan the Terrible about it. But when he did, his father accused him of treason and insubordination. They basically got into this big argument about his wife and about the wars and about, you know, Ivan's own opinions on how Russia should be governed. And Ivan the Terrible became so enraged that he struck his son with his scepter, inflicting a fatal head wound.
Oh. Wow. Wow.
Ivan stumbled back in a daze, and he was bleeding, and he fell to the floor. And his father immediately stopped and held his son and cried out, "May I be damned, I've killed my son," over and over and over again. And he kissed his son. And apparently, according to one eyewitness, I don't believe this, but whatever, his son said, "I die as a devoted son and most humble servant," which, again, I doubt, but whatever.
Ooh, but if he did, like, ooh, that would be,
yeah,
you'd hate to hear traumatic. Like, I was a good son, and he's like, ooh.
And, you fucking killed me. Yeah. Ivan died on the 19th of November, leaving Ivan the Terrible with no viable heirs and furthering him into madness.
What an idiot.
What a dummy.
That's why you shouldn't kill your son.
Absolutely. And actually, him, you know, killing his son was part of the reason why basically their empire eventually, like, toppled over. So, you know, don't kill your son.
Also, as a father-in-law, don't have opinions about your daughter-in-law's choice of clothing, okay?
Literally, she can wear whatever she wants.
She can be, she's a free spirit.
Yep.
Yep.
But can we limit that, not just limit that to just father, like in-laws, can just like everyone,
people in general.
Just not yeah, care.
Nope, I'm that. Not going to make it broader.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway. So, that's the story. Phyllis side, not a vibe. Not a vibe. Not a
definitely
vibe.
Definitely like a bad vibe. I would put it in more vibe. Bad vibe than good vibe.
Great categorization. And with that, Taylor, my angel, I know you have a story for us. I'm an angel? You are an angel. I freaking call you an angel all the time. Don't be a stupid bitch. I like tell you this all the time. Anyway.
Don't be a stupid bitch. I call you an angel all the time.
I'm so bitch, fucking angel. Nice to you, you bitch.
Yeah, literally. That's me. I'm just very aggressive with the way I love people, okay? So I hear you have a wonderful story that might be a little less traumatic than this one, although I feel like it probably is the same.
I mean, it's cadaver gals. It can only be so...
Yeah.
Light.
Don't expect much. Okay. Well, I would love to hear it.
Okay. So I'm going to tell you about Giles Corey.
Yeah, you are, girlfriend.
Yeah, mm-hmm. GG, girlfriend. Good. GC, Giles Corey, group chat, whatever. GC.
I believe he was noted in The Crucible, but for those such as myself who never read the book or saw the movie, although maybe I did read the book and I just don't remember, like in high school, you know. But it revolves around the Salem witch trials, which started in February of 1692 to May of the next year in Massachusetts. So basically what was happening, people were getting sick. Today they believe that it was like this fungus that was found in wheat and would cause these like delusions and like muscle spasms, vomiting, and that was like the cause of this hysteria. Really fun stuff. So naturally, much like when a couple weeks ago when we were talking about vampires, mm-hmm. the obvious conclusion is not that people are getting sick because there's, you know, a bacteria or a fungus. Exactly. It's that somebody is cursing them and they are witches.
I hate like bad hysteria. I love good hysteria, you know? Like sometimes when you look at your partner and you're so enraged with like, oh my God, you're so yummy. I just want to, you know, like bite. Like, I like that kind of hysteria, but like the, oh my God, you know, it's a witch, definitely, and then make terrible decisions in history. That's like bad hysteria to me.
Yeah, it's like okay. For everyone, like, you know, when people get hysterical about like there's like bombs and like weapons of mass destruction
exactly.
in the Iraq yeah. and we're hysterical
not
about
sexy.
And then we have years long wars that we didn't
exactly.
need. Exactly. You remember that?
I do, and I think that is like, again, if we're categorizing, bad vibe, you know?
Ooh, yeah. Weapons of mass destruction are today's witches.
Wow.
There you go.
Big
there
leaps.
You go.
Big leap. Mental leaps happening. Okay, mm-hmm. go ahead,
well,
Taylor.
But at the same time, people, if they are people that are, I mean, it's like they're creating their own little spells and concoctions and curses. So sure, why not?
To make
it's,
things make sense.
They're just curses. Okay, great. So anyway, so obviously they're like, there's witches. But it also doesn't help that when one or two admits that they're like against the Puritans and then they also confess to being a witch, like it just validates everybody's original thoughts.
Yeah,
so
that is not helpful.
Yeah, it's very not helpful. So apparently that's enough to back everything up, and it became this town's mission to find and execute all of the witches Their punishments were typically hanging, while others just died in jail, which I didn't know this because I don't know why. But I thought that it was only women that were accused of being witches. But there were actually 5 or 6 men among the 30 that were found guilty.
Equality. Wow.
Yeah. Well, it's not exactly equal because it was still like 5 or 6 men among the 30.
Okay, well, math is hard, so...
So anyway, so we're going to talk about Giles Corey and his accusation and his death went a little bit different. So little backstory on little Giles. He was a farmer, quite successful at it, I guess, apparently.
Sounds like a witch.
Exactly. He had all kinds of crops. They were doing really well. He had this farmhand named Jacob Goodale, who apparently he stole some apples, which Giles took a little too seriously and beat him to death.
Giving me Ivan the Terrible vibes.
But yeah. Like, were they, I hope they were like Honey Crisp and not just like a shitty one. Like, what's the shittiest apple?
I don't like Granny Smith.
Yeah, I do like Granny Smith.
I fuck with some Granny Smith.
I only like them if they're like cooked with something, you know, like... I don't like them just like...
I went and beat someone to death for them. Maybe Honeycrisp, because those are delish.
They are delish.
Or like, well, Asian pears. Gosh. I love Asian pears.
Wow, did you just go into pears?
I mean...
From apples?
I'm just saying, if there's a fruit to like beat someone to death over...
Mangoes.
I think that's like up there. Mangoes, no. Too.
Good mangoes.
You're not supposed to compare apples to oranges, though, so leave the oranges out of it.
Why don't you open your mind a little, Taylor? Witch. She's a witch.
Yeah, I'm a witch. I'm a witch.
Okay.
But Giles is like, no, I didn't beat him up. He just fell off a ladder. But then
just
other
repeatedly
people...
repeatedly fell off a ladder. That just...
Yeah, he was like super bruised. Like, there's no way that he just like fell off a ladder. But people also overheard him bragging about beating Jacob to death. So,
well, that'll do it.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So he goes on trial for murder. But really, the only thing that happens is that he pays a fine, which a lot of people are like, that's not cool. So he got in trouble for like other small things like theft, but always seemed to get away with it. Moral of the story, he's not a great dude. So, but then, okay, all that stuff's happening. He was first married to a woman named Margaret, who died shortly after they arrived in Salem. And then later he married a woman named Mary. After like 12 years in Salem, she dies.
The letter M, bad, you know, traitor.
Then he married a fellow widow named Martha. So he had Margaret, Mary, and Martha. Which all of this seems a little suspicious to me. Like, what's with all the M's and why are they dying?
Yeah, that's really suspicious.
He has a type, okay?
But remember, there's only 4 names back then.
Right.
Martha,
right.
Margaret, whatever else, and Ivan. There are only 4.
Mary and Ivan. Yep, yeah. That's it. And
it was easier to have a
Giles.
Type.
And Giles.
Quite a strange name. I feel like it was easier to have a type back then because there were, you know... not as much diversity. Now, if you have a type, it's like, Nika, why did you keep going for, like, tattooed baristas? Like, there's more out there.
There are definitely more types now, for sure.
But I see where you're going with the M's, you know?
Yeah.
It just seems a little suspicious to me. So, the witch trials are a hot topic. People are out hunting for witches. And basically, there were these, like, 2 tribes, if you will, in Salem. There were 2 families. And half the town would follow one, the other half would follow the other. So there was the Putnams and the Porters.
2 P's? Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I should have listed P as a trigger warning. The Putnams and the Porters. So it was really kind of like their feud that led to the trials because they were like, you know, trying to get each other. And they were like just accusing the other people who were like associating with the other family.
I have like a question.
Yes.
Okay, not a question. I have a really good point. Mm-hmm. Porter, Pittman, P. All the M's, Salem S, PMS, women are witches.
Wow.
All right. Well, I don't need to finish my story.
Wow. X-Files, X-Files, you know, X-Files themes.
So, okay. So anyway, so it was like this feud that kind of like led to the trials because they were just like accusing each other of being witches. And Giles, his allegiance was of the Porter clan. and had the Putnams pissed off. The Putnams were like, this guy, bad dude, not worth it. You know, they're like, they were out to get him. He like murdered somebody, you know, he was like stealing stuff. He was just a bad guy. Anyway, so Giles at this point, 80, 81 years old or something. He was attending the trials and his wife is like, you probably shouldn't be going to the trials. You have a past. The Putnams are going to be pissed at you. So like, they're going to come for you. So she's like trying to stop him from going to the trials. So what does she do? She hides his saddle so he can't go horseback riding into town. Wow. Which I'm like, I don't know. That seems silly because at this time, everybody was just riding horses and they should be able to ride bareback and it shouldn't be that big of a deal.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't know how far town is, but like, that's whatever.
Did it stop him?
Well, so this was very suspicious of Martha to do. And so on March 19th, Martha was accused of being a witch.
Oh, but because mm-hmm. she took the saddle?
Yep. So members of the Putnams would do this thing. They would like to play the copycat game. And they would just like kind of study Martha and like her mannerisms. And would like do kind of like mimic her movement and stuff. And so they'd be like, oh my God, she's making me like move the same way as her. She's a witch.
These people don't sound like they were dealing with fungus. It sounds like they were sociopaths.
What a boring witch, oh, yeah. too. Just like she hit a saddle. Like, yeah. I feel like yeah. if you were a witch, you would do maybe something cooler.
Well, Giles was like, you know what? Yeah, she might be. She might be
a
witch.
Oh my gosh.
And let me tell you why.
Oh no.
He turned on his wife so fast, y'all. He was like, you know what? Here's the thing. Some of our animals got sick and she was praying. But like, you know, when you pray, like you should be praying out loud. But she was like silently praying. So wow. I don't know what she was doing. Witch. So she was probably cursing our animals.
Obviously.
And he was like, and she's like, she like wasn't letting me go to the trials. So he was like, she's a witch.
Not like a loyal, nice wife who is like, dude, you're sus. So don't go.
Yeah, she was trying to protect him. And then he's like, he turned on her and was like, you're a witch. But then on April 8th of 1692, Giles Corey was charged with witchcraft when Anne Putnam, who was a 12-year-old girl of obviously the Putnam group, clan, family, whatever, claimed that he made her write some like weirdness or something in a book. So he's then accused, and then he's like, whoa, 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 I'm not okay with these trials. Like, what a quinky dink. All of a sudden, he was all about them.
A little yeah. too late, Giles, just like JoJo says in that song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's like, y'all are crazy. I'm not a witch. Witches aren't a thing. I don't know what you're talking about. And so at the trial, the Putnams play the copycat game again, but this time they're doing it in court. So they're like, are you kidding me, Giles? Like, what are you doing? Like, this, you're going to literally practice witchcraft in court. So they restrain Giles and they're like, don't be dumb. But Giles is like, guys, I'm not a witch. This is silly. But he knew with his like sketchy past, like and what the things that his wife had like kind of warned him of, I guess. And he knew like the Putnams were kind of like the more powerful, I think, than like the Porters. So he was like, all right, I'm kind of screwed. I'm going to die. So I may as well die with pride. So he's like, I'm just not going to speak and I'm going to refuse to go to trial. Well, at that time, there was this method to get people to speak, aka torture.
A cool method.
It's a great method. Yeah. So what they did was they stripped Giles down naked in the middle of town. Mm. They laid a board on top of him and they would slowly put like these stones on top, slowly increasing the weight until like he would speak. But Giles was like, he knew it, like he was doomed and he was going to die anyway. So he did not crack under the pressure. No pun intended.
Because his bones be cracking.
No, mm-hmm. Bad.
I think also, it was intended. I think you meant to do that pun.
Yeah, I did.
You got like that real excited, like childlike face of joy, you know?
I put in my notes, hee hee.
That's adorable. So, okay, but he was naked under a plank with rocks on top of
him.
And
he was like 80 or 81.
Here's my question. I feel, what do you call when little pieces of wood get like stuck accidentally splinter. Into your skin? Yeah, in Colombia we call it astilla. But okay, I feel like his dick got splintered.
I wonder if he had a boner.
Probably
death boner.
Well, because he's so shitty, have you guys ever considered that this whole time we're wrong about the Salem witch trials and maybe we just like read, because they had weird cursive back then, right? What if it was instead of the Salem witch trials, it was just the Salem bitch trials and they were just executing people who were bitches? Because he seemed like a little bit of a bitch, right?
I mean, that's ultimately what it was, I think, because the Putnams and the Porters were just accusing each other of witchcraft.
Yeah,
Gabby, the quantum leaps that your brain is making on this episode is astounding.
I'm just very creative.
You got some good sleep last night.
I got bad sleep every day. Well, that's my own
2 hours.
Well, only like five, but in a fun and flirty way. Just because I was watching Ted Lasso and I hadn't seen it yet, so
I would not pick
you for a Ted Lasso fan.
I liked it. It's very quaint. I cried during it.
Oh, honestly, everyone, Gabby's, I think, way more, I think, way into cuter things than one would realize. Like
into cuter
things. Yeah, I'm a sucker for toxic positivity. Yeah.
Yeah, very much. Very much so.
I'm just littered with live, laugh, love. That's my whole life.
I love how this all started because I said that he would never crack under pressure. Anyway.
Yes.
So after 3 days of this going down, he says, more weight. Because he's like...
3 days?
Uh-huh. It was two or three days.
Oh, no.
And he's like, more weight. Because he's like, just go ahead and kill me. Because like I know what's going to happen. You know, let's just get it over with. So apparently, as he was getting crushed, his little tongue was like squishing out of his mouth.
Oh.
And the sheriff would like... had a stick and would just like poke it back in. Really humiliating and gross. Like just a gross detail.
That is a gross detail. Thank you.
You're welcome. But before his actual death, before he dies, he says, curse you, sheriff, and curse you, Salem.
Oh, that's what a witch does.
So since then, his ghost has allegedly been seen in town around like when things were going awry. Like, there were pretty much every single sheriff died early of some like weird thing. Like weird blood disorders, heart attacks, etc. And there was like this huge fire in Salem, which, you know, he was seen around then as well. So like they think that he's like cursing the town. But it really wasn't until 1991. So not that long ago. Nika still wasn't born yet, but not that long ago. It was... The sheriff's office moved out of town, and since then, it appears that the curse has been lifted. So,
wow.
Was it because of the tongue thing?
Well, no, it was because maybe that's what triggered him.
Well, because it was the
pressure.
It was the sheriff of the time who did the push the tongue back in, right?
Yeah, because he was like, curfew.
Curfew.
Curfew, sheriff.
Sorry. That was
bad.
Okay.
All right, I'm done.
Oh.
That's nasty.
Let's move on.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you, Taylor, for that.
You're welcome.
You know, the tongue thing just really got to me. We'll be right back.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level.
Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Looking for a fabulous fashion brand that celebrates you? Then look no further than Boston Proper, where styles are designed with you in mind, so you can look and feel amazing, no matter the day, season, or occasion. At bostonproper.com, you'll find fashion that knows you best. For over 30 years, Boston Proper has been the fashion destination for confident women who want to elevate their look with unique, sophisticated clothing at affordable prices. Visit bostonproper.com today. Boston Proper. Wear it like no one else.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. This is an incredibly inappropriate podcast. Stop. We're moving on.
Gabby and I have lost it.
Literally,
we're done.
I'm scared to be haunted. God, please don't. Okay, let this happen. Okay, so extremely disturbing. I usually love torture stories, but Taylor, that little cherry on top at the end was enough to make me rethink being your friend. Okay.
What?
So I'm kidding. So
I thought I was an angel.
Well, this is a little bit of this is actually for you because you did such an inappropriate joke. I'm going to get into
like
a tangent
it.
That I think you're going to hate.
I'm mad already.
Yeah. So the unfortunate, one of the many unfortunate parts about the Salem witch trials, other than, you know, people being
everyone was getting
to death.
Put
yeah.
to death.
But
yeah.
people don't really talk about this part, is the fact that animals seem to have been a part of what was going on there as well.
I'm
so,
mad. They have nothing to do with it. They're innocent little babies.
And yeah. Well, yes. So, you know,
I don't
we
know.
All
have
know,
you met my cat? He ain't innocent.
Yeah.
Jimmy.
We love Jimmy, though. We all know, you know, the concept of familiars, which are basically like little household pets that serve as witches' companions. They're like meant to be guides and protectors of witches. And the witches, you know, it's said that they have very sacred connections with their familiars. This is like an ancient belief that, you
yeah,
know,
but I have a connection with my dog.
Because well, you're
a
witch.
A sacred connection.
Yeah,
fine.
He might be.
Maybe
your
I'm
familiar.
A witch.
Wow. Okay.
Everyone with an animal is a witch. The end.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yes. Glad we're not in Hysteria Salem anymore. So obviously ancient belief, so everyone kind of like knew it as fact. So of course the paranoid people from the Salem witch trials, they believed it, and famously they were not very logical about it either. They both accused animals and also treated the animals as victims at times, which was a very interesting way of going about it. Like,
that's not fair. They can't stand up for themselves.
Yeah, well, guilty versus not guilty in Salem was a very complicated matter, I suppose, because it just changed by the day, you know? So, like, there was like one dog in 1692 in Andover who was minding, you know, their business, living life, whatever, chewing a bone, I don't know. And this girl said, that dog is looking at me weird and it is trying to bewitch me. I can feel it. And like, listen, I've stared into a Labradoodle's eyes. I know it's disturbing.
Nika!
It is disturbing, but it's not bewitching. It might be scary, but it's not like they're not actually trying to bewitch you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but they're like opposite witches because there's just nothing inside of them.
Absolutely.
You know?
A void of an unspeakable void.
I'm exhausted by this.
She hasn't complained about Labradoodles for like 30 episodes,
exactly.
I feel.
Exactly.
So.
Give it to me. Thank you. So she accused the dog of witchcraft. What a bitch. And the villagers shot the dog immediately. No trial
for the dog.
No.
Oh, dog court though.
I'm so sad.
Yikes. I'm upset.
But no, just like, what if all the jurors were dogs and like they had a little lord, like a little ruffle collar for the lawyers and stuff? Oh, that's dog cute. Court.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Is this a TV show we're about to do?
Yes. So the minister, this is the weirdest thing, is that the minister later declared the dog innocent because he said that if the dog was possessed, it would have survived the gunshots.
Yo, so that's not how that works.
It's not.
You can't just like be like, oh, you're a witch, kill them, they die, and then you're like, oh, must not have been a witch. Like,
exactly, because then what's the point, you know?
Yeah, it's other than just wanting to kill people, because like they would have still stayed alive either way. So that's, yeah, their logic was bad.
Bad and logic.
People were liars back then. That's like
people, well, still now, but yes, yes.
Oh, well, but like about really stupid stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess
people lie about really stupid stuff now, so whatever, don't listen to me.
Well, anyway, so that was weird logic. And like, for example, another weird thing is like if pets are local animals, they seem like tired or sickly, they were immediately assumed to have been ridden by witches at night so they could go to their witch meetings in the forest, and they would say that the animals were hag-ridden the night before. So they just like that's assumed so that their pets were being constantly used by witches, and that's why they were tired or like sickly.
Oh, what if we rode our cats?
I would love to ride
or my like cat. If they got bigger, like the cat bus in Totoro.
That's literally my dream. That is literally my dream in my world. And honestly, I am so sad that it will probably never happen. And that just like deeply disappoints me about life. Oh my gosh. All I do is like watch fantasy shit. And then I get mad that like I can't be a fairy living under a mushroom. Like what the heck? Why?
You look like a fairy. You'd be a cute fairy.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. I think you're I'd welcome. Be a great fairy.
I want to be a gremlin who lives under a bridge.
I was going to say
he'd be a great gremlin.
Yeah,
too.
I want to be a troll.
Wow. What does that different make me? People. You're
a unicorn.
Oh, you're a unicorn. You're a unicorn. You are. You're a unicorn.
I am so happy. Okay, I love it.
You're a unicorn and a treasure. Okay. So, you know, weird shit like that. Actually, I have a little mini story about Martha Corey, who is Giles's wife. The girls who accused the witches during these trials, basically they would say that they would say that they saw visions of the witches with very specific animals, like hogs or dogs or in this specific case, yellow birds for some reason. So like they say one of the girls who accused Martha Corey, they say that they saw Martha Corey with yellow birds on top of her head and suckling on her fingers, and that in like the fits that they would have, they would see yellow birds. So of course, I guess because they saw that and they related it to Martha, that meant that Martha was guilty.
Yeah, obviously.
Okay. Also, another interesting fact that I did find about the Salem witch trials is that another way that they would try to figure out if someone was a witch or not is like by checking their body for blemishes or like weirdness on their bodies. Yeah. Because to them, that was like, I think a way that evil would come in was like via blemishes, which I'm like, bro, that sucks. Like,
I got all kinds of evil in me.
Yeah, I got lots of, I mean, I can't imagine their skincare was that great back then. I don't know. Exactly. You know?
They didn't have like CeraVe hydrating moisturizer. You know what I mean? Also, another thing is if they had, so funny, third nipples were considered like the devil's nipple, basically. And anyone who had it, the people immediately assumed that their familiars would suckle on it. And that's where they would get their evil, devilish strength. And also that like the devil himself would like suckle on the third nipple. And therefore, it was a sign that that person was a witch.
Did they have a lot of third nipples back then?
Apparently, it was kind of a phenomenon.
Yeah, I think it's more common than we think.
I'm sure it is. But anyway, so I found that interesting. So things like suckling were also considered kind of witchy. So of course, this girl saying that yellow bird is suckling on your hand in my vision, you must be a witch.
Whatever. I feel like if you have the vision, though, you're a witch.
You would think, right? And whenever they would talk about the visions, this is what like they called spectral evidence. So like instead of like her word against, you know, whoever's, they basically saw this as supernatural evidence according to the victim, which is pretty terrible because it makes no sense because there's That's not evidence. There's no way that you can prove that. You know what I mean? Anyway, 20 people and 2 dogs were executed for witchcraft during the time of the Salem witch trials, which is horrible and bananas. And
I hope
you
they're
know,
all cursed in hell. They are in hell for sure.
Oh my gosh, Taylor. I mean, yeah.
The people,
yeah.
Not the dogs. The dogs are in heaven.
Yes, they are. So, you know, sad little story to end this wonderful podcast. Thank you so much for listening to this, you know, fun and flirty episode. We will see you next week. Cadaver Gals. Cadaver Gals is a production of School of Humans and iHeartRadio. It is hosted, produced, mixed, researched, etc. by Gabby Watts, Nika Duarte, and Taylor Church. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Cadaver Gals. Leave us a comment, but only if it's nice. We're sensitive people, okay? Bye.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Do you love fashion? Do you love getting compliments on how well you're dressed? Are you always seeking the latest trends? Then we're talking to you. BostonProper.com is your fashion destination and the only place to go for all those nods, head turns, and new styles. No matter the day, season, or occasion, Boston Proper has what you're looking for. Sophisticated, confident clothing designed to flatter and get noticed. So visit BostonProper.com now and start creating your perfect wardrobe. Boston Proper. Wear it like no one else.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.